This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's a joy and a privilege to be together with you. I'm Greg, this is Kilby, and this is our new addition, little Alma Ruth. And it's a joy to be in North Carolina, to see familiar roads and families and local churches. I grew up in Concord and graduated from Mount Pleasant. My wife's from Western North Carolina over in Andrews. There's a camp up there called Snowbird. A lot of folks from this area go up to, and that's where we met and married. And we've been laboring in Uganda and in East Africa for about the past 4 years now. We're sent out by our local church up there in the mountains, and then we're supported by churches like you guys that make it possible for us to do the things we do. We're just normal people who love Christ and want to make him known. And so our context is in East Africa. It's a rugged, rural place. It's a place of poverty and sickness. There's a lot of challenges there, but there's also a lot of smiles and contentment among the people we labor with. And there's peace and joy among those who love Christ. It's our joy to make Jesus known and to disciple believers. And so that's what we're about. We normally are on like a two-year stint in East Africa, and then we're back here for a few months. So this is our second lap. And the name of our ministry is Let Me Introduce You. To those who don't know Christ, we want to make the simple gospel known. We want to preach Christ and him crucified and him raised from the dead, a sacrificial substitute for sinners like me, sinners like you. And all who look on him by faith will be saved and their lives will be changed. And for those who know Christ, we want to introduce them to discipleship. We live in a place in East Africa where there's been evangelism for around 100 years, but very few people have stayed on the ground to disciple. There's buildings with crosses and church signposts where the Bible is never opened. And so we want to see God change the hearts of people, grow those who truly love him, educate and bring them up as his people, and that they would have that ripple effect in their families and communities. And we're getting to see some of that. We make our home base in the northwest corner of Uganda. So if you travel from the Atlanta or Charlotte airport, it'll take you about a day or a day and a half to get to Uganda. And then you've got a 10-hour drive to get to our house. And it's in a place where there's a lot of venomous snakes, and there's malaria and typhoid, and there's a lot of civil challenges. There's corruption in the government and trials. But what a joy for us to labor in a town where there's 10, 15 tribes represented, and in a country where English is the language of the government and the language of the school system. And as we disciple people in our groups from various tribes, they can go and disciple others in their homes and in their families, back to other nations and in their tribes. So that's a little bit of an overview. We've got a few slides for you. If we could click to the next one. In all that we do, we want Christ to be our cornerstone. And I've just put these verses here in case there's anybody with pen and paper who wants to look further throughout the week. But Ephesians 2 and 1 Peter 2 both talk about Christ Jesus being our cornerstone. He's our firm foundation, and in him we're being built up as the people of God. And what a privilege that we get to labor in this way. So every shirt that's given to a friend with only one shirt and it's got holes worn through it, we want to do that in the name of Jesus. And when we share water and share food and show hospitality, we want to do that in the name of Jesus and with the gospel clearly on display. And we want to see people come to faith, because if we see people well-fed and well-clothed and well-educated, but they know nothing of the gospel, then we've missed it. And so we pray that God would open hearts and that others would see that Christ is the only cornerstone. Psalm 127, it talks about those, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. We don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to be spinning our wheels and running with anxious toil. So we want to build and labor and pray and work earnestly to the glory of God. And that means we need discernment and wisdom. So please pray for us that God would show us what to put our hand to and not look back. Matthew 28, you're familiar with it, and it goes along with what was shared from Acts 1. The Lord is with us always. Jesus in the Great Commission, as he was leaving his disciples and going to heaven, he told them he would be with them always and that they should go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that he has commanded. And he'll be with us always. He was with them as they went out, and he's with us today. His Spirit dwells in his people, and he's continuing to build up this structure built on his gospel. What a privilege to be a part of that, whether in Cabarrus County, Concord, Mount Pleasant, and surrounding areas, around our country here, and to the ends of the earth. 1 Corinthians 3 is a warning. These are all things that stay in our mind. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about how it's possible for a believer to be laboring, to be building something that'll be burned up on the last day. And I don't want that for my life or for our small family and ministry or for any of us who are in Christ. We're a new creation and we have a calling from the living God who made the heavens and the earth. And it's possible that we get distracted, even as believers, that we could get deceived, that we could get sidetracked and be laboring in fruitless endeavors. And so we're praying that God would let us see people come to faith and that we would see that he is working through us to build that which stands for eternity. When one person comes to know Christ, we've gained an eternal brother, an eternal sister. Someone has been snatched off the broad road that leads to death, and they're in life. They have Christ. Yes, yes, exactly. Romans 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. There is no other way. It's written elsewhere, there's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. It's just the simple gospel of Jesus. Since Genesis 3, we've all been sinners. Since that fall, that original sin, we're sinners. And God in his grace and mercy had this plan to redeem lost people. And he sent his son, and he's opened our eyes. We were spiritually blind, and he has made us to see. And we long for that for others. And so we also don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. We want to walk faithfully, walk boldly, speak the truth in love, labor sacrificially, show hospitality, love the household of the saints, and love the lost well. So that's a little bit of our kind of our DNA. Could you go to the next slide? Here's our mission statement for you. It's to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the whole truth of God's word, and to show discipleship as primary and indispensable. Our desire is to see God glorified as his disciples are trained and spend their lives making more disciples. We don't want to shrink back from any of the word of God, from any of God's counsel. We want to preach the word fully, make the word of God fully known. And it's been God's grace that we've watched young men read through the whole Bible in a culture that's not a reading culture. We live in a place where reading is just in the last two or three generations because that's when English was introduced and they didn't have any written text. They were an oral culture. But in God's kindness, we've watched young men learn how to read and other children. Kilby's taught some young ladies how to read. And what are we reading? We're reading the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Scripture that's breathed out by God. And we've watched some of them come to faith. And we've watched some of them take the step of obedience in baptism. And we've watched them start sharing the gospel in their schools. And one young man named Chol gets picked on and they call him Preacher Man. And he says, I don't care if they mock me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we're so encouraged by these things. We want to show that discipleship is the ordinary life of a Christian. We want to show that discipleship is the ordinary life of the Christian. Many people think that discipleship is something for the super spiritual or, yeah, that's what the pastor does, and then it kind of wears off on some of us. This is for God's people, to grow up in faith, to walk out our salvation, to live in the truth we've received, and to make the light of Christ known through us. So we're praying for the glory of God, not ourselves. We're praying that these young men and young women, these children, that they would be 15 or 20 or 50 young people growing up for the glory of God in a place that's full of a lot of darkness and a lot of hardship, a lot of mistreatment and abuse. And we're praying that God will use them as a city on a hill. Could you go to the next slide? These are a few ways that our ministry is fleshed out throughout the weeks and months and now years. Our student discipleship started during the coronavirus school closures in Uganda. All schools were closed for 8 months. And we had been encouraging a local church that meets under a shade tree, a mango tree. And I had been inviting the young men to come for discipleship. And during the school year, they could say, oh, we can't come. We have school. And then the schools were suddenly closed and they lost their excuse. And so they came for Bible study and they thought, or they told me later, we came so that we could tell you we wouldn't be coming anymore. They needed to honor me once according to the culture. But they came and they were intrigued with the story of Paul's redemption, Paul's salvation, and what God had worked in his life on the road to Damascus. And they said, can we meet again on Wednesday? So that first week we met Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday, and the same the next week. And then they said, we don't do anything the other days. Can we come every day? And they started coming 6 days a week. And we're studying the Bible for 2, 3, 4 hours, just reading 8, 10 chapters of scripture slowly. We have a policy of honest questions, honest answers. Ask anything. And it's been amazing to see the Lord work in their lives. Please pray for the young people we're discipling, that that God would hold them fast when there's every sort of temptation around them. Pray that God would continue to grow those who have come to faith, who have trusted Christ, and who we've seen flourishing. Kilby's been involved with the children's outreach. It's just a half mile down the road from our house. It's a blessing. She's been discipling a young lady, and Stacy volunteered her family's home for the children's program. She has a ton of children living kind of in her neighborhood off this dirt road. And Kilby went with a Bible and with some pens and papers, and there's been a crowd from day one. And so that happens on Saturdays. So if you're looking for something to pray for on your Saturdays or Friday nights, pray for the children's outreach. There's children that come from homes with no father or no parents, where they're living with an auntie or a grandma or a neighbor, and they're getting to hear the Word of God for the first time. They're getting to draw pictures of what they learned and memorize Scripture, and they're told to take the story that they've learned back to their homes, and it's a blessing to see what God is doing as the seed of the Word goes forth. The prison ministry for the men has been going on for about 2 years. There's a prison in our town called Arua, Maine. And it's been my joy to go and share the gospel there and disciple there. There's a lot of folks who've trusted Christ while in the prison. There was an older man who was released early because the guards testified that they had seen change in his life, and they wanted him to get to go home to his family before he died. On the ladies' side, they wouldn't let Kilby in for the longest time. For over a year, we prayed for that, and the door opened. And that's just God's grace. And as they were there ministering, there was a lady who had been in another prison, had escaped, and then they put her in Arua, main prison, and added many years to her sentencing. But she heard the gospel there in the fellowship meetings, and she said, I thank God that they caught me, because this is where I came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here for more years, but I've heard the truth. I know the truth, and I'm going to walk in the truth. That's our prayer. We share that a lot. Hear the truth, live the truth, and share the truth with others. We long to do that in our own lives, though we do so imperfectly, and we long to see that in the lives of those we disciple. We've been hosting something called Reformation Bible Meetings. These are back to the Bible meetings. As I mentioned, there are many places called churches that do not seek to exalt the name of God and His Word, and that's what we long to do. So we started hosting these three meetings throughout the year. They're 2 or 3 day preaching marathons and teaching marathons. And there have been people that have traveled from 7 miles walking or from 4 hours on a taxi van crowded with 20 other people to come hear the Word of God, because they said, I don't know who these people are up in Arua, but they're not asking everybody for money like the rest of the teachers. They're not making demands on us. They're not promising us health and wealth, but they're just sharing from God's Word. And that's our prayer. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And as believers, we all face real challenges that we didn't ask for. But we live in a broken place. But God is faithful, and God is sovereign, and God is with us, and we'll trust Him no matter what comes. And so as we encourage pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers, we're seeing that some people are desiring to share the Bible in the church rather than just every other thing of opinion and cultural stories and folklore and all else. There's a lot of manipulation and power plays and people trying to see what they can get from the congregation. And we're saying, as leaders, you're called to serve and sacrifice and see how you can bring the Word of God faithfully to the people that God has set before us. Please pray for those meetings. Our next one will be in March or April. And pray that God will bring those who desire to grow. A lot of times you'll gather people who want free tea or free rice and beans. That's okay. But we're praying that God will bring people who want to understand the scriptures more and more and make his word fully known to others. It's our privilege to distribute scripture and literature, Christian literature, in our corner of the world. There's a group in the States called Christian Book Distributors. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they help us get good quality materials at a very fair price. And then they go from Boston on a boat over to Kenya. And then from Kenya, they get on a truck and come across land to Uganda. And then they get put on another bus or a different truck and come up to where we live in Arua. And then they go out to places like Congo and South Sudan and Central Africa Republic, places with very little access to solid reading material or the Word of God, the most solid reading material. And then they go throughout West Nile, which is our region in Uganda, in northern Uganda. So I'm very grateful for the support of this church because you enable us, along with those who send us out, to bring these resources to people. And we know of a lot of ministries that just throw materials at people, and we don't do that. We have a calling to steward well what God entrusts to us. And we've seen books in the latrine being used as toilet paper or seen used as a fire starter. That's not the norm. And we praise God for it. We're looking for readers. We're looking for people hungry for the scriptures. And then we want to put a library in their hands. We want to put several faithful texts in their hands or a set of Bibles that can be used for the local church. And it's been amazing to see the Lord work in that. One young man named Emmanuel, he's been really faithful for about 3 years now. We gave him a study Bible, one of those ones that has pastoral notes and things to help you out. He read through the whole thing in 8 months, Genesis to Revelation. I told you this is not a reading culture. He's not a speed reader. He's not listening to audio Bible, though I love the audio Bible. But he just said, I've got to sit down and plow. If this is the word of God, I need to know it, and I need to know it well. And I've been spurred and challenged by him. And when he had finished, I said, what are you doing now? He said, I'm in Exodus. I'm on my second lap. And I was so thrilled for our brother. You can pray for Emmanuel. He's discipling the young men in our absence. So he's there staying at our home in December and January. He just finished up his first year of Bible school. A lot of times people go off to Bible school and then they never come back. Because we live in a challenging place. If you go off to the south of the country where there's good rain, more access to food, healthcare, electronics, all this, you might be looking at Arua and say, I'm not sure I want to go back there. Pray with us that Emmanuel will faithfully disciple in our absence while we're here and that God would use him in West Nile for the long haul. We're also a part of some radio teachings. Kilby has been discipling. Her grandpa works at a radio station, and he helped us get 5 30-minute slots throughout the week. And so on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we get to share the Word of God on the radio. It's pretty amazing. We live in a place where it's about 50-50 among those who claim to be Christian or Muslim. And a lot of people listen to this radio station because they like the music that plays. Our prayer is that this would be a broad seed-sowing endeavor. Our ministry on the radio is called Hearing the Word. We believe that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. So we, the faithful, must speak and make the Word of God fully known. And pray that especially our Muslim neighbors would hear who Christ is, that he's the Son of God, that he's not just a good man and a good teacher, preacher, or prophet. This is the Son of God come into the world to lay down his spotless life in place of sinners like us, and then to raise up from the dead the one true living God, our Savior and King. Pray also for Christians who are in churches where there's a lot of manipulation or confusion, that they would have clarity about the gospel and a desire and a hunger for the truths of Scripture. We're really praying for that. There's about 6 million people in listening range of that radio broadcast. That's crazy. And people in East Africa listen to radio, I guess the way like Netflix or TV would be here. Everybody, if you're working out in your garden, it's an agricultural society, you've got a little radio around your neck. Pray that the Word of God would go forth over the radio waves. And then we encourage local churches, both in Uganda and then also at times when we get to minister up in South Sudan. It's really a gift. We've been privileged to get on a small plane and fly up to a part of South Sudan you can't get to with a vehicle on the ground. There's rebel groups along the road, and there's a lot of challenges at border crossings. And in God's kindness, he brought this family that had an airplane as a part of their ministry in South Sudan. And we found that we resonated on the truths of Scripture and on discipleship. And they asked us if we had any interest in going. And we had been hoping and praying for that, but no way to go. If we had to charter a flight just to go up once for a couple weeks, it'd be $4,000 or $5,000 with a mission aviation group. And in God's kindness with this family, we've been on the plane 30 or 40 times, and they've never required anything of us. We've been able to contribute and support, but we praise God for that opportunity. When we're in South Sudan, we only move on foot, and we're just within a seven-mile radius. We walk 3 miles to visit this church plant and 7 miles to visit that church plant. You usually start walking at sunrise, and you get back as the sun has just gone down. And it's a full day visiting the believers there. And it's a privilege to gather under the mango tree or the shade tree or under a tarp or a carpet that's been spread over a few branches. And it's a blessing how they receive us as the household of faith, as a brother and sister, and how they've received us in the culture and the tribe we minister with there called the Jormado. It's a great blessing when we go there and they realize, you know the same story that we know. You're studying the same scriptures that we're studying. We worship the same God you worship. And we say, yeah, that's the one true God who made the heavens and the earth and made a way for us to be redeemed as a part of his family and family with one another. So pray for local churches that we get to encourage in South Sudan and also in Uganda. When we go out and share with that church, it might be the first time that the book's been opened in a while. Pray that God would stir hearts and maybe that some of those people would come to the Bible meetings 2 or 3 times a year and get further training to the glory of God. Is there one more slide? If you'd like to follow along with our regular prayer updates and family updates, if you'd like to know more, you can just send me an email at greghelmsis@gmail.com. And by sending that email, I'll add you on to our prayer updates where we share specifically. If you'd like to know generally about our ministry, you can go to letmeintroduceyou.org, letmeintroduceyou.org. And we don't share a lot of specifics on there. We'll write something once in a while, and there's some generic but meaningful prayer requests on there. But our email updates are the main way we share. And then these are just a few pictures. This is the young men's discipleship. And then there's also a young lady there who had been desiring a Bible. And so she came to 2 or 3 meetings, and we wanted to make sure she'd heard the gospel presented and that she'd seen the fellowship of the saints. And she received a Bible on that day with much joy and gratitude. It's such a privilege to give the word of God to people who don't have it but long for it. We gave a Bible to a plumber named Gift, and it's seared in my mind until the day we die. He got down on his hands and knees and he just thanked the Lord and thanked us. And he said, this is the one we've been looking for. It's so hard to get ahead enough in the culture where if you handle a couple dollars in a week, then you've done well for yourself. So how do you get ahead enough to buy a Bible in town that's been marked up 200%? So it's our joy and privilege to bring thousands of Bibles and not just throw them at people, but find those who are hungry for the Word of God or seeking and place the Bible in their hands and pray for them. This is Kilby with the children's ministry on Stacy's porch. They were meeting Alma for the first time. What a privilege that God has blessed us with a child. We've prayed for that for a long time, and Alma's the answer to so many prayers. And we live in a culture where if you don't have children, they assume that you must be cursed or that God is against you. And so God gave us some years of testifying to that's not what it means. We love the Lord. We have no hidden sin. We'll be faithful if God gives us no children or 1 children or 10 children. We'll just praise him. And if he doesn't give us any children, we'll disciple all these around us that don't have someone training them up in the way they should go. But it's a huge answer to prayer that we have Alma with us and that we can now testify to the grace of God in his provision. And that's our first family photo all together. We've been laughing most of the way as we've traveled. I think I wear that shirt like 8 out of 10 days, but I didn't wear it today. Changed it up. It's exciting. We have a little video to share with you. And the video, I hope it'll just give a snapshot glimpse of where we live and labor. And I'll just narrate over the pictures. It's rapid fire, but I hope it just gives you a glimpse of where we're at in East Africa. The first part's from Uganda. This is my young men's discipleship group. That's over at Stacy's home. This is a pastor's training center, a church we were encouraging on Palm Sunday, a backyard baptism with our younger brother Simon, shared meals, our dear friend Scovia and her kids, outreaching in the village, young men's soccer day, that's the children's program with Kilton, home visits out in the village. Those are some of the pastors at the training center. And this young lady was hit by a motorcycle until he was able to help her get medical care. That young lady is things, this is a church meeting space we were able to support. Christmas celebration, together, another young student. He water filters for pastors' families to try and reduce the sickness they face. Things, study Bible trainings are invaluable. Things to together. This is our living room discipleship and some visitors from the States. The young men love to play Uno, and we introduce tacos. They're big fans. There's always fruit for sale by the road. This is where we spend a lot of time just discipling in the living room. These are dear friends and neighbors. Toby's mother and sister were able to come visit. The boy Sam is outside our home. I've taken a few classes with Lucian as the head of the Baptist Union. Typical village roads. That's the finished meeting space for local gatherings. Stacy meeting Alma for the first time. That's Amina. And I'm going to have a baby. That's an elephant. That's our younger brother Emmanuel. He's helping to develop meaning for the disciple of the faith for his faithfulness. We get Bibles into the schools. This is Cyrus and George. And he's trying earnestly to help us save several neighbors. And that's the typical church. He made peace. And these are our dear church he leaders. Made peace. By the blood such a privilege of his to do life with those brothers and sisters. Peace. It's Kilby with the children peace. In the village. That's our kitchen. It's a mud hut with a grass thatched roof. This by young baby was named after Kilby. That's the children. That's the ladies. The Kilby's mother said. It's Thanksgiving night. In South Sudan. Abiel Zachariah, our dear brother. This is a plane that flew us when the plane we normally move on was damaged, and that's another picture. In Uganda, we live in a brick house that's got plaster in multiple rooms, sometimes running water and sometimes electricity, but in South Sudan, this is our home. Please pray with us that we would be able to be in South Sudan more. It's the harder environment. We face real sickness there. Kilby was unwell 2 Julys ago, and I thought that I would lose her, but God is gracious and sustained her through the night with a fever of 104. She didn't recognize me, and she was telling me things about her funeral, and it was unnerving, but God is gracious and kind, and the plane was able to come up first thing at sunlight. They can't fly at night there, landing on the dirt strips out in the village, and we got her to the clinic, and in God's kindness, she's with us today, and the Lord has blessed us with Alma. But there's a lot of challenges in South Sudan. In both places, there's snakes, but no anti-venom, the kind of snakes that kill you in an hour or two. There's always the chance of civil unrest. There's always opportunity for challenges with neighbors or with cattle keepers, which is kind of like the local gang out in the bush. But we love these people, and we want them to know Jesus. And we want to be wise with stewarding our lives and our time and also reaching the unreached, because the Lord has told us he's gathering people in from every language, tribe, and nation. And so that includes the Lugbara and the Alor and the Kakwa and the Iringa and the Mahdi. And that includes the Dinka and the Nuer. And that includes those from the Jor people. So please pray with us. It's such a gift that as we disciple in this little village that wouldn't even show up on the map in South Sudan, there's no pin there on the map, that as we disciple them, they, by faith and with the Word of God stored in their hearts and in their minds and in their hand, would go out on that same little plane. Some of these people have never been on a truck or in a van, and yet they said, we'll get on this little plane. We don't know how it works, but we're going north, and we're going to share the gospel because people have to hear. And I'm challenged because people around us everywhere need to hear this same gospel. We said there is no other gospel, so let us not be ashamed of the gospel of our salvation. Let us not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us not only seek to show the love of Christ with our actions, but also add to that words spoken in love, truth spoken in love. People have to hear the content of the gospel to be redeemed. They have to hear. And so the faithful, we must speak. So God, give us boldness and keep us from timidity or shyness or excuses, which I'm so prone to make. Help us to be faithful to make your name known, that you would receive the glory due your name, that people would come to know you as you've promised they will. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at a text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Father God, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for brothers and sisters, your body being built up on Christ, who is our cornerstone. Thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters in Uganda and South Sudan who are faithful and who are growing. I pray that you would keep them and comfort them and use them. And I pray you would do the same for us here this morning and this week and for all the days of our lives. God, I pray that we would be mutually encouraging to one another. I pray that we would love your word more than we do. I pray that your spirit would guide us and give us wisdom and discernment according to the scriptures, and that we would not shrink back from making you known. God, I pray that we would see the desperate state of the lost people around us, and that we would realize we can't save them, but the truth being shared is what we can do. We can set it before them. So please enable us, equip us, grow us. Thank you for the gift of marriages and families and a local body that loves you, Lord. I pray that you would keep them and grow them in this place. Use your word now as we study it together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1 up to 7. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." This passage comes on the heels of Paul writing to the Corinthian church that we've received a message of greater glory than that which Moses received. We've received the fullness of all the prophecies that were made. They've been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The mystery of redemption of lost sinners under Adam, there's redemption in Christ Jesus, who laid down his life to save sinners. We're beholding the glory of God in his fullness. The work of salvation, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." We get to behold that in a way that Moses did not. And we know the promises we looked at earlier, that the Lord is with us always. And so Paul writes, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. It's really interesting. Paul says we do not lose heart if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he's talking about, it seemed like he was on the verge of despair. Maybe as he's writing to the Corinthians, he's speaking the gospel truth to himself that we all need to do. We do not lose heart. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We know Him who we've seen. We know what He's delivered to us. We know what we have received. We do not lose heart. He's the one ministering to us and through us. We can trust Him. We've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or deceit or to play games with the Word of God. We're just going to openly proclaim His name. We're going to openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and here is why. He's the one who's from before the beginning, and in Him everything that was made has been made. And even after sin entered the picture, there was already before that a plan of redemption. And He has fulfilled what was required. He died on the cross, not as a criminal, but as the only innocent one to ever come into the world. He took my sin on Himself on the tree. And He took your sin on Himself on the tree. He took the wrath of God, which belonged on us, for all who believe on Him, and washed us clean, made us pure, counted as righteous, though we are not on our own and could never earn it. He delivered it to us by His grace and by His sacrifice. Why would we want to tamper with this message or with any part of the full counsel of God's will? We just want to openly declare Him. And we know that many will not receive Him. That's a hard truth. Many are on the broad path which leads to death and destruction. They love their sin and they're blind to the gospel. We should pray earnestly that God would open the eyes of their hearts and that they would see Him as He is. That God would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We should pray that God would open their blind eyes as He opened Paul's eyes after blinding them. We pray for our lost friends and family members. We pray for our lost neighbors and the tribes all around us. You could pray specifically for the Aringa tribe, A-R-I-N-G-A. They live about 2 hours north of us in Uganda, and they're 98% Islamic. And where we live, Islam is blended with African traditional religion, worshiping idols, praying to the dead in the cemetery, going to the witch doctor. So it's very different from maybe what we think of as Islam. This is a type of folk Islam. And the sad reality is that syncretism, that blending of things, exists in most places which call themselves the Church of Christ. In Uganda and a lot of places around the world, we mix our folklore or our the things that we're really putting our hope in with the things of God. And what we're saying is, no, we just want to preach Christ and live for Christ and give Him all the glory. And we know some people don't see the truth, but we know God's going to save His people. And so we're going to make Him known by whatever means possible, that their eyes would be open, that the light of the gospel would shine brightly. What a mystery that God has for the light of this glorious gospel to shine through people like us. Each of us who are in Christ. Each of us who have this calling to make Him known. Each of us, all of us together as the body are called you, and you are the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. All of us together as we love one another and proclaim Jesus faithfully. May God be known, the one true God. We're not proclaiming ourselves. We have nothing good in us. There's nothing in us that we ought to proclaim. But we have no shame about Jesus. In Him, we ought to proclaim. Him, He's worthy to be made known. He is worthy of all worship and all praise and all adoration. It's amazing that the God of the universe, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," when there was only darkness and void, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's the same God who will shine the light of the glory of Christ and His gospel into blind hearts, deaf ears, dumb minds, to reveal truth and call people to life. It's what He did in each of us who have trusted on Him. We couldn't save ourselves, but God was gracious, amazing grace. There's nothing like it. When you share the gospel with someone in your workplace or in your school or on your sports team or in the hospital or wherever you go, at the supermarket and every day in your family, you're given room for the light of Christ to shine from you. Just want to look again at verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I don't have any power. I'm weak, ugly, not very smart, but God is kind. God is gracious. Our human nature, our human form, we know since Genesis 3, like we're moving to death. But our inner self is being renewed day by day. I would encourage you this week to finish out chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians because it is powerful. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner spirit, our inner self is being renewed day by day. To what end? That the grace of God would extend further and further on this street and in these neighborhoods and throughout Cabarrus County and to the ends of the earth. What a privilege that the life of Christ can be manifest now through his people. What a gift. And so that's our prayer in East Africa, that the life of Christ would be manifest through our lives, through our sacrifice, through our service, through our labors, through our prayers and our friendships and our hospitality. And we delight at your partnership with us. Thank you for helping us, for praying for us. Please, please pray for us. That's what we need more than anything else. A lot of people say, yeah, 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 but what do you really need? We really need you to pray with us. That we can't open blind eyes, but God does. So pray for blind eyes to see. Pray for hearts to receive this message. Pray for our friends to remain steadfast in the truth and to continue growing. Pray for us to help people when there's need for repentance and confession and continuing to plod ahead. Pray for us to be strong and for the Lord's protection on our families, on our family, on the families we minister with and alongside. Pray for the missionaries in South Sudan that God would protect them and continue to strengthen them. They live in the hardest place on earth I've ever seen, and yet they're some of the most faithful and jolly people I've ever met. Please pray for the grace of God to extend further and further in East Africa. And one last prayer request. I mentioned in the video, I've been able to take a few Bible classes at a seminary in Uganda, and it's been a privilege. They're one-week intensives, but I've gotten to know some people from throughout Africa, some faithful, faithful people. And so it's a privilege. We've been able to send Bibles off in different directions and other biblical materials. Pray for those people who are seeking to plant churches in Burundi, in Tanzania, in places that we don't even know where it's at on the map. Those people have to hear. I encourage you to pray for the nations and those ministering there, those faithful there. Let me pray for us as we close. Father God, we worship you and we thank you for this time together. I pray that you would use our lives to shine your light, to shine the only gospel there is. There is no other hope for anybody except the hope of Jesus Christ. God, help us to build our lives on Christ, our firm foundation. Build us up in your ways, Lord. Make us faithful in ways we're not. Use us according to your will. Make us humble, sacrificial, servant-hearted. Make us joyful, Lord. Give us cheer in our marriages and families and in the body of believers gathered here today. Lord, help us to hope on you, to walk in the truth, and to make your truth known. We love you and we praise you today. And I pray that you would receive all the glory and the honor from our time together this morning. May your word pierce our hearts and continue to pierce our hearts from 2 Corinthians 4 and from all the scriptures we looked at together and from each song that's been sung and prayer that's been prayed. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've known Greg for a few years now, and I think all of you now know why Greg is one of my favorite people in the world. Y'all are some of my favorite people in the world, and now you've got to meet and get to know someone else who I love dearly. Greg, thank you. Kilby, thank you. Alma, thank you for encouraging us in God's word this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for hearing, living, and sharing God's word with us. And so now it is our prayer that we will have heard, we will live, and we will share God's word with others. So we're going to close in prayer. Greg, Kilby, and maybe Alma will be around if you want to shake hands with them. I do want to mention Pastor Mike was planning on being with us this morning. He had a chemo treatment on Monday. And it's just not sitting well with him this week. And so after Sunday school this morning, he headed home to rest. And so we ask that you be praying for his healing and his encouragement. But we're going to close this gathering in prayer and then walk out in obedience.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.